This is Twit.
This could be a law and policy topic, too. I put it under journalism because transparency and because what the Supreme Court of the United States does is certainly news in each and every instance of a case that it decides. And for those not terribly familiar with the Supreme Court, it makes its oral arguments available only after the oral argument has taken place. And it only makes them available in audio form. So the parties know when they're in there arguing before the justices of the U.S. Supreme Court. The lawyers know, the justices know they're being recorded and that that audio will be released. But there are no cameras in the courtroom and it is not live streamed, either the audio or the video. And the court has recently decided that that is the way things are going to stay, even though there is a contingent of Congress people who have been seeking more access to the court, really would like the court to live stream its audio, its not just the audio, but the video of the arguments. The court has said that it thinks that will change the dynamic of things in the courtroom. It thinks it will negatively impact the way the justices and counsel before them or parties before them interact with each other. I think it's kind of a, if it's not broke, don't fix it scenario. Mm-hmm. The court likes the way things work now. The court has worked things this way for a very, very long time. And doesn't want to change the dynamic to have a live national or international audience while arguments are taking place. So the court has said, thank you for your request. We've considered it. We are not going to live stream our arguments now or anytime soon. Emery, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, maybe predictably, I'm in favor of just live stream the things. Your argument that, you know, it's going to fundamentally change the way or the format or the results of arguments that are made, I think is specious. Creating a culture of deference to the court is important. You know, it's why judges wear fancy robes and, you know, they're seated higher up and our courtrooms look like churches. It's all, you know, part of that mind games to make us as a culture give deference to the court. I think that's totally reasonable and a good enough reason. Make the argument that we want to keep this antiquated system because it helps create deference to the court and it helps, you know, separate that, create that air of mystique. I think that is a more believable argument that can then be defeated on those grounds than the idea that just having cameras up and streaming them passively to the internet or to the world would fundamentally change the way things are working. But that's just me.
Yeah, and different courts do things differently. I know the Ninth Circuit live streams some of its arguments that it finds particularly important that it knows that there's going to be a lot of interest in. Now, being able to access those streams is something else entirely if they are controversial and really popular and people really want to tune in and listen. It frequently overwhelms the system that the courts put in place, so you're left not being able to listen or watch anyway. So I just don't know if, you know, given what other courts are doing, the Supreme Court is ready for this kind of prime time. It would certainly be not just bad for the give and take in the argument as the court fears, but I think it would be bad for the image of the court if it were giving public access and the whole system was broken and inaccessible, which I fear would be the case. But
yeah, I guess how many times does C-SPAN have problems? You know, yeah. I mean, would it really be that difficult to just?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the educational use, the transparency use, like this is a potentially, you know, it's already been hard enough to go through PACER, but to just be able to let anyone that wants to know the law, that wants to, you know, that may be interested in practicing the law later for, you know, students, high school students, young people, like just this could be such a resource. And it's just so incredible that it's not available already.
Right. And the other thing that always comes up in these kinds of discussions is, well, the oral arguments are open to the public. If you really wanted to attend and you were, you know, even more eager to gain access to a Supreme Court oral argument than you were to gain access to that, you know, iPhone that you waited in line 4 years ago, then maybe you might gain access, but it's not easy to get in.
Yeah. You could wake up at 6 a.m. and be at the front door at 7 a.m. and be one of the whatever 50, 100 people that maybe fit in the courtroom within the first 10 minutes of them opening the doors. If you live in Washington, D.C., but if I live in California, most people don't live in Washington, D.C., in fact. So
really?
I'm not a statistics person, but I'm just pulling that one. It might be incorrect. Feel free to correct me, listeners.
Nope. I'm fairly confident that most people don't live in Washington, D.C. What about you, Mike? Do you think that the Supreme Court made the right choice here?
No, I do not. I'm a huge proponent of having court proceedings televised. I think it would be incredibly educational, beneficial to the public. I just don't buy any of these arguments. You know, Justice Scalia was always a huge opponent of having video feeds in the courtroom. And his take was, look, this will miseducate people. It won't educate them. And I think his point was something along the lines of, you know, we deal primarily with a lot of boring statutory issues with ERISA and patent law and some of these other federal statutes that and the oral argument is only just a small snippet of what the court does. You know, a lot of the court's work, the vast majority of it, takes place in private anyway, in conferences and drafts of opinions. And so to just have a portion of the court's work televised would miseducate Americans. I don't know if I buy that at all. As a matter of fact, I don't buy it. I think it would be great for anybody that wants to be able to access hearings to see them. The Ninth Circuit, as you pointed out, Denise, says you can access theirs on YouTube, actual videos of oral arguments, which I've done several times. And as you pointed out, they also have been live streaming some very important cases. The Trump travel ban appeal, when that was appealed up to the Ninth Circuit, that was there was a live, at least an audio feed. I remember listening to it. I don't think there was a video feed, but you know, stuff like that, that's incredibly important. And I think for, you know, probably the vast majority of folks in the country wouldn't be interested in it. But for those of us on this show and that are listening, you know, it's something that would be incredibly helpful and beneficial for us to be able to access. So
yeah,
this will happen eventually. You know, it's probably going to take another generation or so before we get to Supreme Court access and we get a little bit different philosophical bent there, but it will happen. Maybe not.
I do like,
maybe not in my lifetime as a lawyer, but it will happen.
Well, by then, will we even have Supreme Court justices? Won't all justice be dispensed by artificial intelligence
by
at that point in time?
That's right.
I do like the idea of like a networked classrooms or law school classes, or you know, a Discord chat, Twitch chat maybe. There's lots of people, all, you know, 10,000, 50,000 people watching the live stream of the argument at once and, you know, posting memes and the, like, it's, you know, I think that.
We're headed that way.
I'm just a real big nerd. I like it.
I want to hear the back channel to all the Supreme Court argument involves. I think that would be really interesting. And you know what? We get it. Well, we don't get it live, but we do get some flavor of this, even if there's not something like our wonderful IRC chat that goes along with all our Twitch shows. But we do get something like this on Twitter. You know, Twitter's been getting such a bad rap lately. But when it comes to people giving live accounts, you know, say they did. You're a journalist or you're just a really interested person with a Twitter account and you've gotten into an important argument and you're live tweeting and you have amazing insights on what's going on in the courtroom. That's very, very valuable. And it happens all the time. You know, I know, for example, in the monkey selfie case, yay, we get to talk about it, even though it's not in the news this week. People were hanging on every word that happened in the courtrooms during that case, and tweeting and deconstructing. And granted, you know, it's maybe not life shattering for every citizen of the planet, but enough people were interested enough in it that it got an incredible amount of real time coverage, even if things were not being live streamed. Of course, you know, then you get into the question of, well, to what extent can you have a device in the courtroom and be doing that? And I know that there are many courtrooms that limit your ability to do that. So it's a back and forth.